welcome to the Pets Are Family podcast. We've had way too long of a little hiatus here.
I had a very nice vacation, Dr. Yeah. Debbie. So good to hear from you again.
Yeah. It was unintentional, but, you know, life happens.
Yes, so, it does.
Yep. So we want to remind everybody that you can find us on Instagram and Facebook, Pets Are Family. We also have a website, or not a website, an email address. I apologize for that. PetsOurFamily2021@gmail.com. So you can email us there with any questions or comments or show ideas that you might have. And again, we're on Instagram and Facebook, and you can actually listen to the podcast through Facebook once it goes live too.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, because you also find us on Apple Podcasts mm-hmm. and Google and Spotify and
where you listen to your podcast.
Wherever you get your streaming content.
That's right.
You're going to find us there as well.
So let's reintroduce ourselves. I'm Dr. Leanne Devi, and this is Tom Lapidat.
Yeah, I'm so glad to be here. I just saw Dr. Devi because I took Decker the dog in.
Yeah, he was due for his annual wellness.
Due for his wellness check, and he had a little ear infection.
Yep. It sounds like we've got that under control.
We do. He's a much happier dog than when you saw him on the couple of weeks back.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Well, let's see.
What brings us to the Pets Are Family podcast today?
To the table today, literally. Well, it's what, mid-April now?
It is.
Hard to believe that it's already mid-April. At least here in southern Arizona, it's starting to heat up.
We've seen a couple of 90-degree days here and there.
We sure have. We're grateful that they didn't happen in February like they sometimes like to do, that they waited until late March, early April. But it's heating up out here. It's going to start heating up around the country. And as that happens, we need to talk about heat-related illness.
Yes.
So there are some things to certainly be on the lookout for as people start to get out and get more active with their pets. Now, here in southern Arizona, we can do that almost year-round until it gets ridiculous in the summertime. You just do it early in the day.
Yeah, you just do it early in the day.
But around the country, that's not necessarily the truth. I mean, you can go out, especially as spring starts to come around, and people start going, hey, let's get the dog outside. Let's go for a walk. You know, we've been cooped up all winter long with the cold weather or the ice or the snow. And so they want to get out there and start doing those activities that they hadn't been able to do with their pets. And so now we need to start being concerned about what could this mean for the health of our patients.
Sure.
So, you know, out here, we have a relatively dry heat. And so what we're most concerned about is the actual temperatures, where they're going to get out there and they're going to start exercising, going for walks, jogs with their family, playing frisbee, chasing after the tennis ball, going to the dog parks and running around, and maybe not taking that time to rest, because some dogs are so play motivated, they don't know when to stop.
That would be mine.
Yeah. Where they just don't understand, you know what, if I keep chasing that ball 100 times, I might just wear out a little bit and might get a little hot.
Yeah. So no, I have to cut him off.
Yep. Because they will sometimes get to the point of collapse if they are not told, hey, time to take a break. Mm-hmm. Let's get in the shade. Let's get a little bit of water. Let's cool off a little bit. And then we can go back to playing.
Yeah. Because also, I mean, I would think that some may still have a winter coat,
mm-hmm.
you know, some they're still haven't shed all that.
Right.
And I don't know if that's prevalent here so much as it would be up north or out east, where they may still have this winter coat that they need to shed, that they need to, that we need to
that
be cognizant
of. Yeah,
as well.
Retaining a little bit more of their internal body heat than what they would do with their spring and summer coats.
Yeah.
So what we would be concerned about in these drier temperatures is when you're going out and walking with your dog, not just the heat outside, but the heat on the pavement.
Yeah.
We all wear tennis shoes or some type of protective footwear when we're out walking. Our dogs only have the pads on their feet. And we sometimes forget that that heat still radiates up through their pads and into the soft tissues underneath the skin of their pads.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we'd be trotting along doing just fine, and we don't realize the thermal damage that could be happening to their paw pads as they're walking.
Sure, because that's where they sweat.
Exactly. And it's also where that blacktop heat is going to be coming up through their paws, too.
So not only are they trying to get rid of heat through there, they're also taking it in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we'll have some of these animals actually burn their feet walking around out here in just the regular sidewalks. And you're
like,
but the sidewalks are gray. Why would that be a problem?
Yeah.
Put your hand on the back of your back of your hand on that sidewalk and see how hot that gets.
Yeah. I was always told the back of the hand. Even if you were to walk on it in bare feet.
Yeah.
Go out to the mailbox.
Yeah.
In bare feet.
Down your driveway and see how hot your feet get.
And check it out.
Yeah. gets a little toasty.
Yeah.
So we have to be aware of that. And if you're going to take your dog out for that walk, maybe you're taking them to the bus stop to pick up your kids after school, where you're going to have that 2-3 o'clock afternoon heat coming up, put little booties on their feet.
Sure.
They'll figure it out. I mean, it's quite funny to watch them when they first have the little boots put on and they're like, what in the world
oh,
is
yeah,
this?
They're doing the dance. They're doing the dance. They're high stepping.
Little boot dance. But they can figure it out.
Yeah.
And we
as with anything, you get used to it.
Right.
They get used to it as we would get used to wearing glasses or wearing,
something like
that.
Especially if walks are really high value to them, they're going to want to go do that activity, even if they have something weird on their feet in a lot of cases. But we also have to, as you were saying before, since they sweat through their paws and they release some heat through their feet, we can't leave those booties on too long.
Yeah.
Because now they can't release the heat from their paws.
Yeah. We also have to be cognizant of how much time we're spending
out
doing these activities.
Right. So,
and the rocks are no better. We don't have a lot of grass here.
No, we don't.
In southern
Arizona.
It's
pretty much desert out here. And we joke about the desert wants to kill us because it's, one, it's hot. And two, there's sharp, pokey things out there all over the place.
Yeah.
Whether it's plants or animals.
Yeah. And I mean, there's still, you're going to find those sharp things on the ground. Sticks. And stuff and needles that cactus and trees have given off.
Yep.
You know, you just don't have to be conscious. Don't step on the cactus. There's other things that they can step on. I've had to stop and feel in between and figure out where this is that, you know.
Yep.
Because it may not always just be visible to the naked eye.
Yeah. And the weeds out here.
They'll let you know.
Yeah. The weeds out here have such burrs and stuff that come off of them. Or the foxtails or the goat heads. Ow.
Yeah.
So,
even in grassy areas, you're going to find those weeds that have.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. The goat heads are prevalent in the grassy
areas.
Yeah. Okay. Now, those suckers hurt, man. If you've ever stepped on one of those as a kid barefoot.
Right?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, imagine
like a rite
them.
Of passage.
And they can't say anything. Yeah, exactly.
So, obviously, not just the heat-related things, but just being out and about protecting your pet's feet is certainly important. Make sure to take plenty of water with you. It's not just good for us to be drinking the water. It's good for them to be drinking the water, too. And when you stop for that water break, try to do it in the shade so that they have a chance to get out of the heat, out of the direct sunlight that's been beating down on both you and the dog, and start to lose some of that internal heat through the panting, through the paw sweating that they would normally
and
do.
And contrary to what my wife believes, they don't sweat through their fur whatever. She is a firm believer because our dog Decker will start to smell. And she believes it's, you know, because he's sweating. And I tell her, I'm like, I do the Pets Our Family podcast and we talk about this all the time. Yeah. He sweats, he pants to get rid of his heat and he sweats through his paws, not through his skin, not through his fur. But still there's that smell.
They have oils on their skin.
Yeah.
And so it's just like us. You get a little dirty after a while. You get some bacteria that normally live on your skin. You get some yeast
and
you're going to smell. You need a bath every once in a while.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, we have some stuff to, you know, give him and we spray him down a little bit
and
stuff like that. And also, one of his favorite things to do is go for a car ride.
Oh, yeah. So that can be a lot of fun for these dogs. So the one caution I have for that is dogs love to stick their head out the window. But what ends up happening is all of that wind and the dust and the dirt blows up their nose and their eyes. They're sucking it in with all the panting that they're doing. And so while they love to do that, my recommendation would be not to have them sticking their head all the way out the window. Just crack the window so that they can get their nose up there and smell what's going on outside.
Because that's basically all they want to do. They're smelling.
Oh, yeah. They want to see where they're going by their nose.
Yeah.
For sure. And then, of course, maybe greet the people driving by periodically.
Yeah. Or you see a dog. You're in the car and there's a dog walking and, hey.
Who are you?
Hey, I know that guy.
Right.
You know. You see a buddy on the street. You know, we're gonna say hi. They're going to want to say hi, too. But what about riding in a car with the windows up? Say it gets hot.
Yeah,
you know, it's in the 80s, it's in the 90s. I want the air conditioner on.
So does your dog.
I was just going to say, he probably wants it on as well.
Yes.
Do we go windows closed? Do we go window cracked a little bit in the back? Because Decker rides in the back.
So that might help to circulate the air a little bit more, to crack the windows a little bit, because some cars don't have that AC that's in the back seat of the car.
Yeah, no, mine
does not. So you don't have dual zone and stuff.
Yeah.
So that might help to circulate that air around too, by pulling the air from the front to the back through those back windows, by cracking them a little bit. But they do need to keep the car cool, because you have a dog in the back seat who's panting and getting excited about being back there. That back seat's going to almost turn into a sauna.
Yeah.
Where you're in front of the vents going, this feels great.
Yeah,
you know?
You're like, I'm fine.
It's wonderful. I can point all vents towards me.
Yeah.
So it is important to also keep in mind that they're going to get hot in the back, especially if you don't have window tinting on your car. And
sure,
a lot of cars don't come with window tinting. And so that's something that you might think about having done if you're going to be traveling a lot with your dog, is maybe getting at least the back windows tinted just a little bit to reduce the amount of heat coming in through those windows.
Is that effective? Is that?
It's effective while you're driving around. It's not effective when you park the car and turn it off.
Okay.
So out here, the temperatures, and this is true anywhere, that even when it's 70 degrees outside, you park and roll up those windows and turn off the car, the heat starts to rise within minutes.
Oh yeah, it gets hot quick.
It gets hot very fast. And that's even if you're parked in the shade in some cases. And because you have heat radiating up off the asphalt that you're parked in, as well as the ambient temperature around the car. And then if you have sun coming through the windows, well, now you've just turned your car into an oven.
Yeah. And your car runs at 280 degrees.
So you have the heat coming in off of the engine after you've turned it off. That's going to heat up the front cab of that car a little bit faster, plus all the surrounding temperatures.
Yeah.
So definitely important not to leave your pet, dog, cat, gerbil, bird, whatever, in a car without the AC on. And there honestly should be a human being in the car with them too.
There really should. Yeah. I've now started to see, you know, the windows are all closed, the car is on, and the dog is in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to start to make some choices.
Right.
Maybe it doesn't need to come with me when I go to the grocery store.
Right.
Is it a moral imperative that it be in the car? Yes, maybe in my mind, I'm not going to be there very long.
Right.
You know,
a couple minutes, you
know? I'm just going to be in and out. We all know that sometimes those plans go awry pretty quick.
Exactly.
You know,
we have no idea what's going on inside the business that we're planning on soliciting.
Yeah.
And, you know, is there a big line? Is somebody being trained? Is there a holdup going on with getting transactions taken care of? Do they have what you're looking for?
You know, it always seems like whenever I go up to the bank teller line or to the pharmacy window line, it always seems like they're trying to a hostile takeover of the facility through the window, and it seems to take forever.
Yep.
Whereas I think my transaction doesn't take that long, and usually it doesn't.
Yeah.
But for some reason, it seems to always take longer than I think. Why is that?
I wish I knew.
Okay. Leather seats versus cloth seats.
So the leather is going to retain some of at least the moisture that we at least put off. The dog is not necessarily going to have that kind of problem with it, because again, they're not sweating.
Yeah.
Where we stick to the leather seats. Cloth is probably more comfortable for everybody all the way around in the summertime, because the leather gets hot too.
I would say leather gets hot quick, and we do need to be cognizant of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're getting into the car.
Yep.
Let's make sure that if it's a leather seat, that it's cool when they jump in, because they're going to hit it with their paws, and
they
going to hurt.
It is going
to
hurt.
Much like it would hurt you.
Yeah, you don't want to sit down on that hot seat.
Or a belt or a seatbelt buckle.
Those suckers burn after they've been sitting in the sun.
You know, be cognizant of that as well. Maybe carry an old sheet.
Or a towel or something.
Or a towel or something. Just maybe have something in the car, in the footwell, in the trunk, that you can set down that, you know,
that
may
protect the dog or your cat.
You know,
or
whoever's coming
you.
In. Yep. You know, for a car ride.
So we find it really important to remind people, even though we kind of wonder why we have to remind them, but please, again, don't leave your pets in the car with the windows rolled up, without the car running, without the AC running. And again, there should be a person with them while they're in the car.
Yeah.
An unattended pet can, you know, these animals have locked cars, they've rolled down windows, they can do crazy things while they're in the car unattended.
There was just a story, not that it was a pet, but it was a javelina, which down here in southern Arizona is like a boar.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and it got this, you know, prickly whatever. Got into a Subaru.
Oh, no.
Was ravenous. Found a bag of Cheetos in the Subaru. Went to town. Got scared it was in the car. Managed to shift the car into neutral, and it came out of the driveway into the street.
Oh, no. I did not hear this
story.
Tore
the car, the inside of the car, to shreds. Like the scene in Tommy Boy where they have the deer in the car and it goes nuts and it tears the thing apart. This actually happened.
Wow.
It was a javelina got into the car, had the Cheetos, freaked out that it was inside of a car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, managed to shift it into neutral, out into the street, and tore the car interior
to shreds.
Yeah. Scared to death.
And that can happen
with, I mean, it's a wild animal.
Yeah.
Sure.
So we don't know.
And there's coyotes and there's...
And there are triggers that can come by your car if you're not in there that could upset your pet.
Yeah.
And could lead to, you know, barking at somebody else because they're trying to protect themselves, the property that they're sitting in.
Sure.
Or maybe they are a reactive animal and they don't do well if others come around and you're not there to help calm them and suppress the situation.
But yeah.
And then you could have damage to your vehicle or they try to go through the window.
Yeah.
So,
you know, they freak out and they just, you know.
Yeah.
A car backfires or,
oh my gosh, yeah.
You know.
For dogs who are noise phobic, that could be a real concern for them.
You know, just something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or,
absolutely.
You know,
big trucks driving by that they're not used to and you're not there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A car alarm starts to go off on the car next to it. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's stuff that you haven't thought of.
Right.
That's going to be causing, you know.
That could cause panic in your pet. And we don't want that to happen when somebody's not there. And it would be awful for them to get themselves into an accident because they were unattended.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're not just talking about auto safety and just going on walks and being safe, but now we also have to think about what happens when the humidity factor comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's going to happen for us in the summertime when monsoon season hits, or in other parts of the country that are naturally just more humid than we are, that people forget that because they pant in order to release the amount of heat that is excessive in their system when they're exercising, that the higher the humidity rate, the less they can actually release that heat through panting.
Really?
Yes. So there comes a point, and I honestly cannot remember the exact humidity numbers, but where panting actually becomes completely ineffective at heat dissipation for these guys. So it is extremely important not to exercise them in humid temperatures.
Okay.
Unless you have an animal who is trained and has been acclimated to doing that. But again, those animals are usually being used for a specific purpose and they're going to be taking breaks in the process of doing that.
Sure.
Most household pets are not going to be acclimated to being in hot, humid weather and being able to exercise and not end up with some type of heat related injury.
Sure.
So very important to be very careful about what time of day you're exercising them and what the weather is like when you're exercising them.
Yeah, it's I take Decker in the mornings.
Mm-hmm.
And the lows have been, you know, in the 50s.
Yeah, and that's
right
a great
now.
Temperature right now.
But we're going to get to a point now here in southern Arizona where the low is 80 degrees.
Right.
Where it's still 80 degrees when we get up, you know, like right after sunrise.
Right. It never really cools off.
It never really cools off.
Mm-hmm.
The ground's going to be a little bit cooler. There's still going to be that time frame where I can walk him and be out.
Mm-hmm.
But he, and I know because I pay attention, he gets tired a lot quicker.
Yep.
When we walk and the low was 80 and it's still 80 or 85 degrees when we come out. It was 38 when we walked out the door this morning.
Yeah, see, that's a beautiful temperature to be out exercising.
Couldn't have been more happy.
Yeah, but I can understand that.
My right shoulder still kind of hurts because
he's pulling
it out of the socket because we're going, man.
Right? But I mean, think about it. If you're out trying to exercise in the heat, you're going to also fatigue a lot faster.
Yeah.
Because your body's trying to regulate that temperature in the process and it's putting out a lot more energy to try to regulate that temperature. And so is the dog at the same time. And so they're going to have a faster tire rate than they would in cooler temperatures. I mean, a lot of us have better stamina when it's cooler.
Yeah.
It's pretty typical.
Because they run hotter than we do,
they
correct?
Do. Yes, they do.
Yeah, because we run at 96, 97, 98 degrees.
Somewhere in there, yeah. I think they're determining that 98.6 is not the actual norm for everybody.
Yeah, no, I couldn't tell you. I just got over a cold, and I think my temperature was, you know, at that or a little higher.
Yeah.
But generally, I think people run in that 96, 97 degree range.
Yep.
They run hotter than we do.
So their average temperature, depending on the dog and what their basal metabolic rate is going to be somewhere around 100 to maybe 101.5, 102. And it's going to vary throughout the day, just like ours would. So they generally already run hotter than we do.
Yeah.
So,
you know, and we like it at 72 degrees, 70,
yeah, you can imagine
73 degrees,
like
you know. So you factor that in is, you know, my body runs at this temperature. I like it at this temperature. They run a little hotter. They probably want it a little cooler,
if not substantially cooler. Unless they're already acclimated to that temperature change. And that's one thing that we have is a lot of our animals live indoors. And so they're not going to be acclimated to the outdoor temperature change because we keep our houses almost at a constant temperature for the most part throughout the course of the year.
Yeah.
And so they're not going to see those great temperature changes for long periods of time. It's just going to be when they go outside to do their business, maybe for some playtime. So they're not seeing them every day as they slowly change. And so their body doesn't have an opportunity to acclimate to them. And so they have more problems with doing those heavy activities in temperatures that they're not used to.
So what are some of the signs I should look for? Yeah.
So you already mentioned one of them, the fact that Decker gets tired more quickly when he's out in the hotter temperatures. So not being able to keep up with what would be your normal activities.
Their normal pace. Mm-hmm. He's got a pace. Yeah. He's got a normal
and
pace
most
he goes
dogs
at.
Do. So that's one of them, getting the bright red gum color. So they should be a nice healthy pink when you're looking at their gums. So if their gums start getting that bright red, almost brick red color to them, the thick saliva that starts to kind of string out of their mouth, breathing really heavily, so that heavy, heavy panting.
Okay.
You're going to want it. Once you start seeing some of these things come on, hopefully you've taken a break before this starts to happen, but you need to get them into the shade immediately, get some water into them, get some water on their undercarriage, basically their belly and their chest and on their feet, and let's start cooling them down. And try to get them inside if you can. Now, some people are already out and there's no way to get them inside.
Yeah.
So you're going to want to start these cooling measures as soon as you can outside until you can get them cooled down enough. And then try to get them inside as soon as you can. I mean, if you can get somebody to come and pick you up, if you're out on a walk or out doing a hike or something like that, that'd probably be the safest thing to do rather than trying to walk back unless you don't have a choice.
Yeah. And I know Decker, not a big fan of the water. Because some people will be like, oh, you know, or like we have a pool. Like if you have, we don't have a pool, but like if you have a pool in your backyard and they go, you know, does the dog like to go into the water? Mm-hmm. What kind of effect is that going to have? You know, maybe they get out of the water and they're stepping on the hot pavement, or I don't know what kind of...
So,
because you would think that maybe a dog going for a swim may cool it off.
You would think so, but dogs can actually overheat when they're swimming because they're doing a lot of activity when they're swimming. So they still need to take breaks when they're swimming too. So the pool
decking... mine is terrified of the water, so that's
you don't
not
have to worry about
I
it.
Don't have to worry about this. But you were talking about, you know, getting water on their feet, getting water on their underbelly, and that may be something that I would have to get Decker used to.
Yeah, and you might actually just have to take your bottle of water and just start rubbing it on his feet, trying to get him to drink some of that, getting his belly wet.
I have a collapsible bowl that I take that you know, it's got a little carabiner
pouring,
on it.
Yep. Pour some of that on him. If you're not near a body of water, then obviously that's not, you can't just walk him into a body of water. So you're going to have to use whatever water source you have. And if you have nothing, at least get him into the shade and try to get somebody out there to help you.
Yeah.
So if they're out swimming and stuff, they, like I said, they can overdo it even playing and swimming. So they should have enforced rest time in the shade when they're outside doing those kind of fun wet activities as well.
I've been to the water park where they enforce a rest time. They make everyone get out of the pool and
go drink your water.
Go drink your water. Mm-hmm. It's 10 minutes and we'll be back in. And so, yeah.
Because you can dehydrate yourself out in the water because you're not drinking that pool water. At least
I would hope not.
Some dogs do, but yes, we're not generally going to be drinking it while we're out there swimming. We're too busy playing, and you're not supposed to drink the pool water anyway.
Yeah,
gross.
No, I would not recommend that. Anyways, I'm not a doctor, but I'm not recommending that either. Dogs that spend the majority of their time outside.
So they've had
versus,
the time
you know,
to acclimate.
Decker's inside. For most of the time, he gets a 40-minute walk during the morning, a 20-minute walk at night. And he'll go out and, you know, lay in the sun for a little bit on the deck and come back in. Or go out and go to the bathroom and come back in. But for the most part, he's an inside dog. But not everyone, you know, there are a lot of people who keep their dog outside pretty much all the time.
Those dogs really need to have a minimum of a shelter that has three sides and a top. So they can have just some place to go in and get out of the sun and have access to fresh, clean water 24/7.
All right. Metal bowl,
not metal bowl. Not really recommended a metal bowl.
I've seen the bowl outside and the water gets hot. And granted, it's water. But you have to make sure.
Burn yourself with that water.
You know, you could still do that. So, yeah. You know.
Yeah, and there's even the glass bowls that you put on your deck. Well, guess what glass and water turn into when the sun is shining down on it?
Yeah.
A little magnifying glass. So you can actually cause problems with if the water bowl and its glass is sitting out in the sun. You might have a little bit of thermal.
So, yeah, a plastic, change, yeah. A white plastic yeah, bowl
that
probably would
be
good.
Ideal.
We use a tortilla holder.
it works, of those reddish.
Yeah, it's that reddish one.
It's a thick plastic. That
it's
stuff
a thick
is,
plastic yeah, and whatever.
Pretty hardy stuff.
Yeah.
And you're going to want to clean those on a regular basis. You can get all sorts of, you know, algae and such that starts to grow in those outdoor water dishes.
I've noticed some birds.
Yeah, they love to come and drink out of that.
It's not really a bird bath.
Yeah, but
it's a good sized bowl, and so we need to be cognizant of that as well. If our dog has a bowl outside of water, let's clean it every day, every other day.
If you can, do it. You know,
freshen the water.
Yeah,
and
soap and water. Clean it out really well. Get all the residue out. And
yeah, I mean that goes for their dishes inside
absolutely.
As well.
Yeah, that should be done anyway. But you know,
that's a different show.
Yeah, that is. But sometimes people kind of just. Put them outside and almost forget about them. And that's what we don't want. We want them to have that daily care, making sure that they're kept safe from the elements outside, that they have that fresh, clean water available to them, especially as the temperatures get hotter, because they're going to need to go through more water as they pant more and they lose some of that moisture through their panting.
I have already noticed that I refill his water bowl much more than I did around Christmas time, probably.
Because they're evaporating a lot of that water during panting.
Yeah.
So they're going to need that back. So again, making sure that they have maybe a couple of different water sources, you know, maybe one out where their little shelter is, one up by the house that's, again, is protected from the elements as best you can.
Yeah. Yeah. And I suppose one of those like dog houses would be nice.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
But I would think maybe something a little larger as well.
Yeah.
Something you could get a little more, something with some airflow to it. And
We don't want to make it a sweat box in there for
them
either.
That was what I was, you saw what I was getting at there.
Yeah. So making sure that there's plenty of ventilation is important. So, you know, the wind blows a lot out here and so that can help with some of the ventilation, but we do have our stagnant days where the heat is just radiating up off the ground. It just seems like you can't get any relief from the heat because the wind isn't blowing. And your dog is going to get hot in the process of that as well.
Yeah. You know, doggy doors are great. And maybe an access to the garage for them.
You know,
the garage
even outdoor fans can be helpful. If you have them near the patio, just getting that air circulating.
Nice.
Yeah. So that can sometimes help. And if you can, putting them in a shaded area with their doghouse would be even better. Because then they really can get out of the elements.
Now, I hear behind you, Sherlock the dog.
Yes.
It seems like he wants to go outside
and
see what's going on with this. Dr. Debbie, it's getting hot out there.
It really is. So let's keep our pets safe during this time of year.
Talk to you later.
All right. It was good to see you.
Fabulous. Pets are family. Wherever you get your streaming content, you're going to find us. Facebook, Instagram. What are the email address again?
PetsAreFamily2021@gmail.com.
Call us with your questions.
Yeah.
See you later.